This morning we're going to speak on parenting the next generation. Now I know that the older folks here with our children or whose kids have left home might think, oh well, then this service is not for me. We will not only speak on children, parents with children, so you can relax. I think the reason they've asked me is because I got my last hiding from my father when I was 16 years old. And I was desperate to tell you why, but you can't tell this to a church from the front. But for the inquisitive ones, I will gladly share it with you. But it was basically because I challenged my mother in a very disgraceful way. And my father heard it and I got a hiding. Now immediately, normally when I share this with people, they say, I'm sure you and your dad after that didn't have a good relationship. In fact, our relationship was brilliant. It never damaged, that hiding never damaged my father's authority in my eyes. And I think we need to be honest with each other this morning that our Heavenly Father have children and His children are also naughty and His children also do things wrong. Does that reflect bad authority from His side? It doesn't. It only reflects our disobedience. And this morning we're going to speak on a few keys in raising our children for the next generation. Raising our children that they will in the end have godly character and follow Christ with complete obedience. I always say when we raise children, whether it's spiritual children or our own children, our hearts have to be close to each other. Would you agree? I will not receive from somebody that I don't know well, that doesn't have my best interests at heart. Would you? It would be more difficult. So our hearts have to be turned to each other. And I grew up on a farm. So when we were little kids, we would go with my father all over the farm into the mountains on hiking trails and whatever. Then we believed we were his slaves. Now I realize he built very solid relationships with us. And then we would get thirsty. And then he would scoop water from the river and we would drink from his hands. Now you know, when you feed somebody with water from your hands, they need to stand very close to you. Am I right? So it's like scooping and drink immediately. Because when they are too far from you, by the time they reach you, there's nothing left in your hands for them to drink. So this morning we're going to speak on how can our hearts stay close to our children's and our children's hearts stay close to ours. Who are parents here this morning, biological parents? No. Sorry. Who has adopted children and biological children? Kumi, you have adopted children. Yes. I'm checking her out here. Who's got biological and adopted children? Only a few. This is impossible. Let's try this again. Who's got biological and adopted children? Who's walking a road with somebody? Okay. Then you would know that one of the main things in parenting is a discipleship process. It's a process where we start investing into our kids. When they're small, we change nappies. We stand up at night. We sleep very little. We make sure they eat healthily, and it carries on, and we keep investing into their lives. Why? Why are we doing that? I want you to speak to me. I saw Ilse. Is Ilse here? Buenzaer. I'm going to ask you, Ilse, why would you do that when you have a baby? If your husband would like to answer, that's also fine with me. That That's right. For a child to grow up healthily and enjoy life. And that is why we need to disciple our children. To grow up healthy in the ways of God so that they can bear godly fruit and enjoy life. Let's look at Psalm 1. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." Let's just look at that piece that says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Is there somebody here this morning that can say, even in your most difficult times, you're bearing fruit? Even in your bankruptcy, you're bearing fruit? Even in your bad relationships, you're bearing fruit? Most often, we don't. But God says, please, I'm saying to you this morning, please make sure that we as adults, we as parents, love the Lord our God so that we can bear fruit in every season. That's a healthy tree, would you agree? That means when I shake the leaves of the leaves don't fall off. It's an evergreen tree. It always gives shadow. So everybody can come at all times and pluck some of the fruit of that tree. And that is why we need to make sure that when we plant our children like trees, when you plant a tree, you need fertilizer for a specific tree to produce a specific fruit. Am I right? You can't just give any tree any fertilizer. We need to know what godly fertilizer we need to give our children to bear fruit in every season and for them to stand strong as an evergreen tree throughout their lives. Now you would know, can I expect that of a two-year-old to bear fruit in every season? Can I expect it of a 20-year-old? I could. Can you see what I mean by saying it's a discipleship process? It's not going to be a quick fix. We're going to do it throughout our lives. Mac and I often say to each other, when are they going to learn? Then I say, I was probably at 25, because we're busy with a process, producing, giving fertilizer. Parenting works like a GPS. Who's got a GPS? We desperately need one. We're not good with finding roads and places. We are like GPSs in our children's life. How does a GPS work? There's a route planner. You can plan your route. You find, you tick in where you are now, and then you need to put an address in where you are going to. What does that GPS then say to you? Turn left here, go straight. In 400 meters, turn right. Am I right? We need to be the GPSs in our children's lives for them to bear fruit in every season. They need to, my kids need to, when they are 30 and they want to make an ungodly decision, hear my husband or my voice in their heads. Not a condemning voice, a voice of conviction. Because the word of God tells you and I in Isaiah, we will hear a voice behind us saying, this is the road, go to the left or go to the right. So God is our GPS. He gives us direction. What happens if our children deroute? We say, stop. When you put your finger in that plug, you might most probably shock yourself to death. You know what my daughter tells me this morning? We stay in Kapalavora, in Kylemore, and she discovered, apparently last weekend, that the electric fencing is actually on. She realized it's on. So yesterday, she had a friend over, and they threw plants. They want to see how a plant electrifies. So they pulled out the plants and threw it over. So they realized, no. Mika said to Anamart, no, that thing shocks. You can't touch the plant. So they called somebody from outside the complex and said, don't you want to pull that wire away from that one for the plant to fall on the floor? And the guy said, I'm not stupid. And that is what we want our kids in the end to sound like. We're not stupid. We're not going to make silly decisions. So we need to program our children that they can know where they're heading towards. We can only take our children where we are going. We cannot take them on a different route. And I love this example, and I always use it. I say, we can hide all our sins, and they will not know about it. We can hide all our lies and all our wrongdoing, and they will not be aware of it. But the manifestation will happen in our households. If my husband and I are busy with pornography without our kids being aware of it, we cannot hide the spirit of lust that will manifest in our households. So, even if you're trying your utmost best, you cannot take your children where you're not going. Friends of ours, 10-year-old boy, apparently announced to them 3-4 weeks ago at the dinner table. He said, Mom, Dad, I just want to tell you that I've decided that I will, unlike you, I will not follow Christ. I'm not going to live according to godly principles, and you're not going to stop me. You're not going to tell me anymore who I can befriend with and who not, which games to play and which not, because I choose not to believe the way you believe. And the parents just realized, where is GPS? So they had a family meeting, and they said to my boy, we cannot force you to follow Christ, but we're going to make a commitment to you today. We commit that we will take you where we know is good for you in the end, and you need to commit that you will love and respect and obey us in this process. They made a commitment, they signed a contract, and they honed in on, stop, that's not the way you speak to me, because that's part of the discipleship process. Excuse me, where are you going? We having prayer time, you joining in, and they just lay down the ground rules, and it was a very tough 4 weeks. Tuesday, my friend phones me, she says, I need to tell you this, you won't believe it. Obviously, they were fasting, they were praying, they were crying out to the Lord. Their boy waited for them as they came into their driveway, jumping up and down like a rubber ball, and said, Mom, I made a decision. I know where you're going with me. Dad, I see where we're going with this. This is the decision I've made. I'm going to follow the Lord until the day I die, because I see it's working. It's working to do the right thing at the right time. And he said, and you know what else? I'm going to ask him that he will show me what my gifts are so that I can, the church we were going to, come and add my gift as well. You see, when we are the GPS, if we are the voice giving them direction, then they follow it, because it's a place of safety. If we're not sure where we're going, and we mess up all the time, we portray a cheap imitation to our children what Christianity is, what a godly life looks like. I had a friend a few years ago, my kids were small, that went to France, and she came back and she gave me this beautiful, white, pure linen outfit, a suit, a white linen jacket and a white linen pants. It was the best linen. And with it came a card that said washing instructions. And it was like, don't put it in the washing machine. Don't do this. And I followed. I wore it. And I followed the washing instructions to the T. So when it dried, it was the size. This is my size. It was the size of a 2-year-old. It shrunk. My pure French linen outfit. And I'm like, did I follow? Where did I go wrong? And in the end, I thought, well, I'm just going to iron it and give it to a friend of mine, and her little girl can wear it. And as I ironed it, I saw a small label on the side of the jacket that said, made in China. And I realized, That's what we sometimes do. When the storms of life hit us, we shrink and we give in and we don't go to church anymore and we don't want to serve and seek the Lord earnestly. And our children see that. And it communicates to them, what you've taught me is not the real thing. It's only a cheap imitation. We will only do it while it's working. And we cannot do that. We cannot allow ourselves to do that. God wanted to make sure that we understand the process of discipleship. When we look at Deuteronomy 6, but first verse 5, it says, and it speaks to parents. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And the New Living Translation, shortly after that, it says, commit to do this wholeheartedly. Because God says to you and me, make sure you don't do this as a cheap imitation. He says, parents, I want you to love me wholeheartedly. I want you to live as a living sacrifice. I want you to follow me and nothing else. And then it carries on, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 9. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. When? Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road. When you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. He says, parents, I need your attention. I'm the Lord your God. I want you to love me first and follow me, not half-heartedly. I need your full commitment for you to teach your children what it looks like. Put off the radio when you're driving car. Teach them about discipling. If we want to see a product in the end, by teaching them, discipling them. I think Galatians 5:22 is a very good place when your kids are smaller to start. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. We need to teach our children to love rather than to hate, to be patient rather than to be angry. So if your child throws a tantrum, why will you not tolerate it? We cannot ignore it. Don't just say, I'll ignore it, and then it goes away. The Word of God says your child, the product in the end, should be a child with patience, with long-suffering, with kindness. Vloermoere doesn't produce that. It just aggravates even more terrible emotions. Okay, we need to teach our children how to handle offense in life. We need to teach our children how to handle rejection when they're older, how to absorb disappointments in life. That's part of the discipling process. We cannot have them as adults being offended all the time, moaning, groaning, and whining all the time. Imagine your little girl, we've got a moaner in our house, and we've just declared war against moaning and whining. Because in the end, we want to hand her over to a husband and says, she's not a moaning wife. We've made sure for you. Early marriage gift, you can thank us later. This one, she's kind. This one knows long suffering. This one knows how to stand strong in the storms of life. And guess what? We are their testimonies. They will follow it because we leave footprints in our children's lives that you and I will never be aware of. And we are allowed to say to them, you do this over until you get it right. Now, the moaner in our house often sound like this. Mommy. Then I say, oh, no. Stop. Mommy is good enough for me. And she knows what it means. Imagine a wife comes to her husband one day, love me. He's going, so no. Ooh, no, I'm on my way, watching rugby. The guys know I'm telling the truth. It's not only sharing the gospel with our children. It is sharing with them the ground rules of our household, the ground rules of life, the ground rules of the church, the ground rules of the community. And discipling them is, they have to abide to our rules because we have to abide to God's rules. If you don't know where to start, I always say Romans 12 is a good start. Romans 12 teaches us that our lives cannot revolve around our children, but around other things, about hospitality, about caring for the lost, about focusing on those around them. A child that knows when I throw a tantrum and everything revolves around me, my parents don't go to church anymore because I want to go gym on a Sunday morning. My parents don't go to church anymore because I said I want to go to the beach. I'm not sure if a child like that, her or his marriage will be able to survive. Because that child is spoiled. And not everybody's lives will revolve around our children's lives. God's life doesn't revolve around Kumi alone. He takes care of all his children. But he welcomes us. He says, I'm here. Come to me. I will give you rest if you're tired and weary. And when we come, he's available. Our lives revolve around the Lord's. We need to take discipling very seriously because discipling is getting our hands dirty. It is going back, saying the same thing 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, over and over and over. Because we want our children to understand what Christianity is about. It's about nations. It's about church community. It's about serving and laying your lives down. It's about getting your hands dirty. We cannot raise a generation that aren't good Samaritans, that won't stop for the one busy dying. We cannot raise a generation that's only heading for success. Then we have failed. We cannot raise a churchless, godless, prayerless generation. We can't. Because God says, in the end, we will stand as parents before him alone. And he entrusts our children to us. I don't know who remembers the story of 1996. There's a group of people that went to climb Mount Everest. And halfway up the mountain, they found this guy that fell and he was busy hurting and busy dying. And this group that was busy going for the summit said, we need to make a group decision. What are we going to do? Do we pick him up and carry him back to save his life? Or are we going to do what we've come to do to reach the top? Made a group decision and they've decided, we've paid a lot of money. We've practiced hard. We've dedicated a whole year to doing this. We're going. Leaving the guy. And that guy died on Mount Everest because there's a group of people that said, we are more important. Our success, the story we can tell of our success climbing Mount Everest is much more important than a man dying. And we cannot raise a generation with that mindset. God's word doesn't teach us to climb the mountains for ourselves. God's word teaches us to cheer each other on, to pray for each other, to look out for each other, to help each other, to care for the lost, to go to the jails, to go to the hospitals and minister to people. We need to always remember to serve God wholeheartedly. I love the story of the woman at the well.
Here comes Jesus, and she's drawing water from the well. And he's just making conversation with her. He's just having like a chat with her. And he's my husband does it. Where's your wife? Where's your husband? Where are your kids? And that's what Jesus did that day. He said, so where's your husband? And luckily she was honest. She said, no, I don't have one. I don't know if we're allowed to say this from a pulpit, but I always thought, you know, this was her how manyth husband? Maybe Jesus was good looking and she had a plan in mind, but okay. And he said, you're right. And the conversation goes deeper. And he says, but you know what? I've got something that you would like to have. And she's interested. And he says to her, those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And that is why we need to daily drink of Jesus' water. Because the effect of Jesus just offering a fresh, bubbling water that can give her eternal life, made her run to her village, which I cannot imagine she was the most favorite person. But when she shared with the community, I met a man that will change your life. You need to meet him. The village came because there was something very real in connecting with Jesus. And that is what we want our children to see. That we seek Christ earnestly, and they want what we have. I grew up in a farm, and often the irrigation system, the pipes, would not work properly because there are frogs in the water, in the pipes. And then we have to undo all the little pipes, get all the frogs out, and then the water can flow through properly. And that is what Jesus did that day with the woman at the well. Because there was a connection, Jesus could say to her, get rid of the frogs. Get rid of the frogs. Follow me. What I give is much better than what five men could have given you or offered you. We have to be able to say to our kids in the discipling process, follow us. We're going to Jesus. I want you to love him as I love him one day. The second thing we need is God has a unique dream for your child. Our children are not only just born. When we look at Psalm 139, it says there, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. How's that? Before you held your baby in your arms, there was a story written about God's plans for your child. And we as parents need to find out, Jesus, what is your plan with my child? Because God has called families to serve him together. God wants you to bring your child to Sunday school, youth, church, whatever. This is how they see how we move as a community of believers together and serve Christ together. It says in Jeremiah, and we so often love to quote that scripture to each other, where God spoke to Jeremiah. Go read Jeremiah 1 verse 1 to 9, where he says, Jeremiah, the reason you are born, I've called you as a prophet to the nations. He said it from the beginning. There's your calling. What I want you to do is the following. Verse 10. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. God has called your child in the community, in the church you are planted, for a specific task, for a specific dream. We often quote the scripture Jeremiah 29 verse 11 to 13, that God's plans are there for our good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. We often start businesses and say, this business is going to go well because God in his word says he plans a good future for me. No, it's not true. God says, my plans for your life, come get them from me. Come have intimacy with me so that you can know. And those plans, like Jeremiah, if you're busy with that, you will have hope and a future. Teach your children that they don't need to copy anything or anybody else. They've got a calling, they've got a plan, they've got a purpose written by God Himself. I always say to my kids, if you are busy copying somebody else, who's going to be you? Just the uniqueness of it. The third key is God built with us. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 verse 5. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. I don't know about you, but if God says, Nordine, you are the brick. He picks me up. He builds me a house with it. He cements it in. Do you think that's quite painful? That is painful. Because you know what? There's no resistance in a brick. God can do whatever He wants. He can build me in wherever He wants. And that is why it's important, parents. Don't eat at different churches. Don't eat food from other tables. Because God can't build with you as a living stone. God wants to use you and your children as living stones in the house He has planted you. And the moment you're willing to be built into His house, God says, then you belong. And then there you will grow. Our children don't have to behave before they belong. Jesus doesn't wait for us to be at our very best before He uses us, before He speaks to us, before He teaches us. He calls us to be living stones in His house. That means you are actively involved in ministry together with your kids. That means you should go on outreaches with your children. They cannot only be exposed to the modern Western comfort. I think the prodigal son is a very good example of it. The moment he went to his father didn't say, no, but what do you, my boy, feel comfortable with? We can change all the ground rules of our house for you to stay. Let's just chat about it. Didn't happen. He left. And when he sat in a pigsty, he realized, in my father's house, I belonged. I had to submit to his rules, but it brought safety. So I'm going to go back there. And I'm going to abide to his rules because there I can grow. And that is what we need to teach our children. There's safety. There's safety in belonging. Then the last thing is discipline is important in raising the next generation. I told Sari before, and I would have loved to tell parents how to give their children hidings, but I won't do it from here. Because discipline is such a crucial tool that parents in today's lives are so scared to use. They're so scared that they will hurt their children, that they will damage their children. Discipline does not mean abuse. Discipline means we want to make sure that they are going to follow the God route. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age where our children are allowed to have very strong opinions. They are allowed to speak to adults the way they would like because they have rights. Have you recently heard how children speak to adults? It's shocking. It is really shocking because we lack so much discipline. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And I want to ask you, allow God to change the way you think about discipline and don't copy the systems of the world. Copy the word of God because that is our compass and that is what we need to follow. When we speak about discipline, we need to know what we need to expect of our children. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for it's the right thing to do. Further on, it says, when children obey and respect their parents, it will go well with them. So you're not disciplining children because you decide. God decides. They have to be happy children in the end. Unfortunately, when we speak on obedience, I have to speak on authority. Authority's main ingredient is integrity. Integrity is the distance between what you live and what you preach. And that is why God says in Scripture, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Because God operates like that. When your kids challenge your authority, speak to them about it, but make sure that your integrity is in place. Integrity is, do you drive on the speed limit? Do you watch age-restricted movies? Do you tithe? Do you come daily before God's presence, in God's presence? Do you live? If you say to your children, read your Bible, is that the distance between what you preach and what you live? Because if that is the thing you live, your children will follow it. They will feel secure about it. The problem with us today as adults are that we are not convinced that all authority are appointed by God. And that confuses our children because we allow them to down talk authority. They come home and say, I don't like my teacher because she did this and this and this. And she did this. And then the mother say, don't listen to your teacher. She's stupid. And then our president, his face appears on TV. Oh, no, that, oh, no, please, man, he doesn't know what we're doing. And that's the way we speak about our children's principals, teachers, leaders, and they hear it. Because we as parents, we as adults, don't think right about authority. According to God, all authority is appointed by him. Romans 13 verse 1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Here it says, God takes it quite personally if we don't submit to authority. God is going to take it very personal if our children don't submit to human authority and godly authority. We cannot raise our children as if they are the victims of bad authority. We cannot. God has given your children to you as South African for you to raise them in this country. We cannot raise our children and say to them, my boy, when you're old enough, go to Canada, become a doctor there. What are we doing? So then they get in Canada and authority there is just as bad. So where must they go then? We have to teach them. They have to submit and obey authority, honor them, and speak with respect to them. That scripture that I just read to you was the people moaned, and Paul then addressed the people because those people were under the Roman Empire, and they were very unhappy. And Paul said to them, doesn't work like that. All authority are God appointed. Authority is a blessing from God, and it protects us. Okay, so when do we discipline our children, and how do we do that? Hebrews 12 says, no discipline is enjoyable. While it is happening, it's painful. Who has experienced discipline in the last month? It's painful. It's a good hiding. But there's always a fruit that will come from it. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Mommy, I don't like my teacher. She is, excuse me. Just remember, she's your teacher. God has decided that you need to be this year in her class. If you're unhappy, we can go sort it out with her. but I will not tolerate bad mouthing in our household, any authority figure. I think it's, my history is going to fail me, but I think it's Stalin that said, he looks, when he roams the streets, he looks the way the children greet him. Then he asked them, any child that greeted him with disrespect, he said, who's your parents? Take me to your parents. And then he would confront the parents and say, I believe you teach your children that I'm the baddie. I think it's very real. Our children will handle adults and authority figures what they hear and see in their households. Further in that scripture of Hebrews, it says, God only disciplines his own children. If he doesn't discipline you, he doesn't regard you as a child. So we should pray, Lord, bring it on. Sort me out. Me and my family, sort us out. Because there's going to be a harvest of right living. And he's going to train us and we're going to grow spiritually. And we're going to bear more fruit. And we will know how it feels to pass it on to our children so they can have a spiritual inheritance of right living. People always laugh when we say we don't even tolerate bad behavior in our household. We don't. It's rebellion. Don't oversee it even once. Remember Jonah? He was on his way to Nineveh. God gave him an instruction. He thought, no way, I'm not listening to God. I've got my own plans. I'm okay. I'm going to do my own thing. So everybody in the boat realized, you're the bad apple. We're going to get rid of you. And God said, now my discipline will start. You will end in a fish's belly. Our children need to know when they are rebellious, life will suck them in. They will end in a fish's belly. When they are cheeky and arrogant like Joseph was, people are going to sell you out. And you will end in jail where God can train you. We have to apply the word of God to our children today so that we know where we're going with them, so that we know where we are going. If you are convinced this morning in your heart that you need to make some changes, you need to be convinced in your heart because Proverbs says, be careful what is in your heart because it is the wellspring of life. And God can come this morning and circumcise your heart. We can only grow and bear fruit ourselves if we live close to God. And the only reason we want to do it right is to bear fruit for God's kingdom, to raise children that will do as Jesus did on earth and not look away from the needs and the storms of this world. So if you want to say this morning, I as an individual wholeheartedly want to follow and serve Christ. I want to bring up my children in the ways of the Lord. I want to teach them to submit to human authority and godly authority. I want to teach my children to love the Lord their God with all their heart wholeheartedly. If you want to teach your children that the church is the place where God can build you as a stone into the house and you can grow there, I invite you to stand now. And I'm not going to pray for you. I want us as a church to do a declaration that they're going to put up there this morning. And I want us to say it humbly, but seriously, wholeheartedly this morning, as to the Lord. I stand this morning out loud. Let's start again. I stand this morning to make a declaration of commitment that me and my family will not copy the customs and behaviors of this world because we are not from the world, but in the world. I declare this morning that we as a family will be obedient to God and respect Him and all human authority.
I declare this morning that I will lead my children as part of the body of Christ to bear godly fruit, and that we will, in our church, be living stones for God's kingdom. We are willing to grow in our church and to be part of the body of believers, and will wait with expectation to see more of His goodness. I commit that I want to disciple my children according to God's expectations, and that I will teach them to be obedient to us as parents and to respect us in order to be obedient to Christ and respect Him. I declare this morning that I will be committed to wholeheartedly love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and that I will seek Him earnestly every day of my life. Amen. So, Lord, this declaration, we don't want to say it half-heartedly, but we come with You, Father, and we want to say to You, we will love You, and we committed to it, to do it wholeheartedly and pass it on to our children and our children's children. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You will come meet us at the well, and that we will drink daily from Your water and eat daily fresh manna from Your word. I pray, Father, that You will come and discipline us, that our lives can bear fruitful harvest, that You will train us according to Your ways. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we as living stones can be built into Your kingdom to strengthen the body of Christ. And I bless every parent to be, every grandmother, every grandfather, every person that's walking around with anybody, I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will sow life-giving seed to those around them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.